gang. I see you there. And you. You look marvelous. Hey, welcome to the show. Welcome to National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, the only republic you have left. It is RBN. And you want to go there and you want to click on the button, the donate button, and you want to send a donation. There's a variety of ways you can do it. You'll get it figured out. And you'll send a donation to keep free speech alive, because the deplatforming is rampant. And of course, I, as many of you know, I do the Stormfront Radio show in the mornings. It's live call-in show. Well, it was a live call-in show. It will be a live show for one more day. The call-ins have ended. We have been deplatformed by our telephone provider, and we've been under constant attack, whether it's the domain name server, whether it's DDoS attacks, whether it's copyright infringement. We've just been under constant attack from, shall I say, we've been under constant attack from these Jews. And it's not worth it anymore. So Stormfront Radio is being deplatformed. But Republic Broadcasting, I don't know how John Stadtmiller does it, because he faces the same attacks. But so far, he's been able to keep free speech alive. And you want to help him do that. So go to republicbroadcasting.org, click on the donate button, and send shekels. Go to nationalbugle.com. You're going to find a bunch of stuff there. Not only do you find the Co-Certified app, which is completely awesome and totally my sponsor, and is a template for so many things that we need to do, and we'll be talking a lot about that over the coming weeks. It also helps you lead a non-kosher certified lifestyle, because you are what you eat, and you don't want to be kosher certified. Or maybe you do, I don't know. It's up to you, and it will help you. It will help you with all of that. But what else you'll find at nationalbugle.com, you'll find a lot of the articles that we talk about. Now, if you were to go to nationalbugle.com and you see right up at the right-hand corner, what is the KQ, the kosher question, you see that. There's a big logo there, a big link. Directly underneath that, at least for the time being, is an article. What's all this about the United States being a corporation? And that is a link to the Library of Congress, to the Act of 1871. So, and then in the red letters underneath it, you keep hearing about this business that the United States became a corporation in 1871. As you can see from this article, and there's a link, it's all based on the Act to Provide a Government for the District of Columbia of 1871. So I've got a link to an article, and I've got a link to the law itself. Now, we're going to talk about this a bit today. I want to talk about the article, which is just, you know, there's a bunch of articles about this, but I actually want to read from the Act. Now, the Act is 11 pages long. I'm not going to read the whole thing now, but I am actually going to, this will be a project. It'll take a while, but, and I don't want to do the whole thing all in one, all at once, because I don't think it'll make for good radio. But I'm going to read from the Act. We'll see how far we get. This is a live call-in show. You can call in at 512-248-8252. But, you know, give me at least a few minutes. I want to at least start reading from the Act. We can talk about the Act, or we can talk about other things, too. There's a 1-800 number, which is not really 1-800. But most people, you can just call in. So 512-248-8252. I want to make sure I'm giving out the right 1-800 number. I guess it's 1-800-313-9443. That's if you just don't have free minutes on your cell phone or whatever, and can't afford the call. But at any rate, this is what we're going to do. I'm going to talk a little bit about this business about the United States being a corporation. And I talked about it maybe at the beginning of this week. I don't see anything here. I mean, I hear people talking about 1871 as being one of these pivotal years in American history, like 1776, which was obviously the Declaration of Independence, 1787, which is, the Constitution, the year that the Constitution was signed. It wasn't ratified, though, until, I guess, early 1789. Obviously, 1861, the start of the Civil War, 1913, which is the income tax and the Federal Reserve, 1941, Pearl Harbor, 1965, the Immigration Act. These are pivotal years. 2001, the whole 9/11 thing. And then, obviously, 2020 and 2021, we're going through big things. But 1871, does it really fit in there? Was it really that important? And I say no, it wasn't, but but maybe I'm missing something. So the first this article, and I'm not saying this article is the be all and end all, but it's just typical. The Act of 1871, the United States is a corporation. There are two constitutions. And so it just starts off. We're not going to go too much into this, but since the Act of 1871, which established the District of Columbia, we have been living under the United States Corporation, which is owned by certain international bankers and aristocracy in Europe and Britain. In 1871, the Congress changed the name of the original Constitution by changing one word, and that was very significant, as you will read. Some people do not understand that one word or two word difference in any legal document do make the critical difference, but Congress has known and does know this. 1871, February 21st, Congress passes an act to provide a government for the District of Columbia, also known as the Act of 1871. With no constitutional authority to do so, Congress creates a separate form of government for the District of Columbia, a 10-mile square parcel of land. The act passed when the country was weakened and financially depleted in the aftermath of the Civil War was a strategic move by foreign interests, international bankers who were intent on gaining a stranglehold on the coffers and neck of the United States. Goes on and on. They have here a YouTube video, right here, a YouTube video, the Act of 1871, the United States is a corporation. And it's odd. I mean, of all the things to link to, this is a 5-minute video. It's got some guy playing the Moonlight Sonata, the first movement, do 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 do, which a lot of kids learning the piano play. I used to play it. I never learned the second movement, the third movement, which is really fast. As an adult, I learned that, and I was pretty good at it for a while. I couldn't do it now though. At any rate. And then it's just got a few, like this video, it's just got a few quotes from the Constitution and from some other things. It doesn't make a case. And I think this whole thing is an urban legend that somebody at some point just got stuck on this word corporation, which we have corporations, we think of them as big companies. Corporations are big companies. But of course, have you ever driven along the road, and you enter a city, and it says, you're entering Springfield, Incorporated, 1823. Incorporated. The town is incorporated. Does that mean the town is a corporation that issues shares? No. The whole word incorporation, the key word is corp, which the word corpse comes from corp. Corp means body. Okay. I'm going to start reading. We will take callers. We'll see how far I read. I'm not going to read that far, but this is something I want to do. Because do I have, what am I missing? Because I read this whole act, 11 pages. over the weekend. I don't see anything there. I'm going to start reading from it, read for a while, and then we'll talk. But let me at least get started. I want to start this project. Okay, and so this is chapter, these are Roman numerals, so chapter 62, an act to provide a government for the District of Columbia. And the subtitle, District of Columbia constituted a body corporate for municipal purposes. Be it enacted by the Senate and House of Representatives of the United States of America in Congress assembled, that all that part of the territory of the United States included within the limits of the District of Columbia be, and the same is hereby created into a government by the name of the District of Columbia, by which name it is hereby constituted a body corporate for municipal purposes, and may contract and be contracted with, sue and be sued, plead and be pleaded, have a seal, and exercises all other powers of a municipal corporation not inconsistent with the Constitution and laws of the United States and the provisions of this act. We're going to continue a little bit. Section 2. And be it further enacted that the executive power and authority in and over said District of Columbia shall be vested in a governor who shall be appointed by the president by and with the advice and consent of the Senate, who shall hold this office for 4 years, and until his successor shall be appointed and qualified. The governor shall be a citizen of and shall have resided within said district 12 months before his appointment, and have the qualifications of an elector, which typically, this is parenthetically inserted, which typically means somebody with the right to vote. He may grant pardons and respites for offenses against the laws of said district enacted by the legislative assembly thereof. He shall commission all officers who shall be enacted as aforesaid, and shall take care that the laws be faithfully executed. Okay, so that's, we're only on the first page. There's 11 pages of this, and I'm going to read it over the course of a number of shows. We'll see. We'll see. But right now we have a caller. One caller dropped. I think who is our next caller? It looks like Josh from New York. Josh, welcome to the show.
Hi, great to be back. Thanks for taking my call.
Well, thanks for calling in, Josh. What do you make of this?
I'm so sorry. I tuned in the middle. I wasn't really I don't exactly know what's going on with this.
Okay.
What you're just reading.
So you don't have to respond to this. I am reading from an act that established a municipal government for the District of Columbia, and I think many people erroneously believe that there's something in this act that transformed the United States of America into the United States Corporation. This is something that I've heard people talk about for years and years, but not very much. They didn't talk about it very much, but I think it's been kind of in lately has been incorporated into the whole QAnon narrative, because it's gotten a resurgence, and I've been hearing a lot about it lately. I think it's all an urban legend and a distraction. And so I'm addressing it, but we don't have to talk about it. What's on your mind today, Josh?
I had a point I wanted to make, but we could talk about anything.
Okay,
after,
I tell you
I
what.
We could talk
hold
about
on
Jews,
just
we could
one
talk
second,
about...
because there was hold, stay right there, because there was something very important that my director, Mr. T, who's also my dog, he's telling me that Chuck Schumer has a very important announcement to make. Can you turn up the radio, Mr. T?
Make no mistake. There will be a trial, and when that trial ends, senators will have to decide if they believe Melania Trump excited the erection of the United States.
Oh, oh my God. Now they're going after his family. And honestly, I don't see how Melania can beat this charge. What do you think?
I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, crazy. That's going to be tough. That's going to be
it's
tough.
It's getting so like, us versus them.
I mean, with Donald, okay, you know, he was the president. They're going after him. And with if they were to go after Jared and Ivanka, I'd say go right ahead. But going after the rest of the family, I don't think it's right. And frankly, I didn't even think that was against the law, but I don't know. So what was on your mind?
Well, yeah, here's one thing.
I think they're going after Donald Trump with this impeachment and conviction in part because they know that Trump actually was reelected. And so they want to go through with the impeachment and conviction so they can say, well, you know, he's still not legitimate because he was impeached. I think that's a little bit of a part of it. Okay, sorry to interrupt.
Yeah, that's interesting. It just further delegitimized him, I guess. That is interesting.
Yeah. Well, they have to delegitimize him because Biden is illegitimate, and the perception of Biden as being illegitimate is bound to increase. So they have to delegitimize Trump, I think. I think that's part of the idea. So what was on your mind?
What was on my mind was I heard your show with Mark on Monday, and it was an interesting show. I think your show is always interesting. Mark, he talks a lot about the changing demographics and how white people are going to be a minority. And I know we talk a lot about Jews. I haven't talked a lot about, I guess, demographics with you.
Mm-hmm.
And I do have an interesting, I don't know, I guess a different sort of take on the whole changing demographics and things like that.
Go for it.
And the way I see it is I think if white people and I think if people on the more dissident right think of things in terms of we have to be the majority, right? We have to be more than 50%. I think it's very counterproductive, and I think it's a little bit of a red herring. I think it gives this sense of like complacency that things are okay now, but you know, if it gets to that point. But when you really think about it, it's like, okay, so white people are 60%, over 60% of the U.S. population now. And
well, they were in the last census. They're probably in the new census will be a little less. But
yeah,
continue.
But within those white people, okay, so how many of them are younger and going to these kosher-certified colleges? And getting completely indoctrinated and going on OnlyFans and just completely buying the media narrative hook, line, and sinker and basically hate themselves.
Yeah, okay. And so hang on to the other side. I wanna explore this with you, and then I got some other callers.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. and knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Is your property a financial burden and causing you grief? Have you tried to sell but can't find buyers? Or are you just too busy to sell your property? Don't worry. We have the right solution for you. We buy properties as is, with cash, close in 30 days, and pay all closing costs. Our service is ideal for property owners who are in pre-foreclosure, have high-end repair costs, experiencing financial hardship, going through costly divorces, are relocating, need cash for retirement, suffering family loss, or have tax liens. Whatever your situation may be, we can help you sell your property and get the money you need. If you own a single-family home or multiple family units, call us for a free consultation at 888-910-1037. That's 888-910-1037. Or visit our website at cashingproperty.com. That's cashingproperty.com. Sell your property fast and leave all your worries behind.
Welcome back to the show. Welcome back to the show. Okay, so we're here with Josh from New York, and you were talking about the demographics. Let's hear what you have to say about that.
Yeah. So I was saying that. Okay, so America's 60% white. Okay, so within the 60%, it's like how many of them are just anti-white? I guess, you know. Mm-hmm. And even if they're not like so politically minded, like they're pro gays, they're pro trannies, they're pro all these immoral things that are just like horrible, and pro BLM and all these things. It's like, dude, like people, like level headed white people that want a nice society are probably a lot less than 50%. So the time's already here. And instead of, In order to change things around, I mean, I think if there's one thing that I've seen from this pandemic, quote unquote, is how powerful the media is, that they could just get people in line. They get people to do these irrational things, like not see their friends and families and put diapers on their face, for crying out loud. Mm-hmm. It's like, if you want to turn things around, you should be thinking more in terms of how much of the media do we control? Okay, that's like, what, 3%? 4%, and then it starts to make a lot of sense why things are so bad. So that should be a better mindset. And I get it. I don't want to like make it like I get it. Like it is seeing the changing demographics. Like I recently just saw this TV show called The Right Stuff. It's about like the space race in America in like the 1960s, and it's romantic. Like the whole
is it the movie The Right Stuff that was written by what's the guy's name, Tom Wolfe?
It's a show. I'm sorry.
Okay.
It's a show. Disney just released it. It's a very good show. It's beautifully produced.
It's about like and, John Glenn and Alan Shepard and those people.
Yeah. And I get it. Like seeing a country that's completely racially homogenous, it's very romantic and it's very beautiful, and it really did move me. I don't want to make it like you know, if sometime in the future, like, if white people, some of them decide, like, okay, we want to have our own place, like, okay, fine. But, like, right now, like, the thing to be thinking about is how much of the media do we control, right? Like, and then you look at people that are actively doing good things. I think, like, things like Gab, like, social media platforms, and obviously RBN, those are the best way forward. I think thinking in terms of demographics is very, it's not palatable to most people, and I think it doesn't really matter. And I guess my final question would be, where would you rather live? Would you rather live in South Africa in the 1920s as a white person, or in America in 2020? Right.
I don't know, You know, with advocacy organizations or advocates in general, obviously with Jewish advocacy organizations, people who are attracted to work in Jewish advocacy organizations are people who would hold very strong views, maybe even extremist views. And so you do, you know, the advocacy organizations are probably much more adamant about certain policies and whatnot than, say, the average Jew. And I think in the same way, especially because of the taboo on white advocacy, the people who are brave enough to engage in white advocacy probably hold very, very strong views about it. And, you know, over the past 5 years, you had a lot of people, younger people in particular, talking about the ethno-state and often proposing things that might sound kind of extreme. Now, I'm a boomer, and as a boomer, I'm totally not racist, and I have lots of Jewish friends, right? And I'm not even joking about that. I mean, I do. But, you know, the demographic phenomenon is really massive, and it's in our face, and it's being turned up. And, you know, you got to the point where in the past 6 months, you can barely find white people in advertisements. You know, it's all black.
It's crazy.
It is crazy. And so, but on the other hand, you know, like you say, things have gone really far already. There's a lot of water under the bridge. There are a lot of, to use the Israeli term, facts on the ground. And there needs to be thought into, you know, what can be done realistically, what can't be done. And that's a hard conversation to have. It's almost as taboo to talk about the water that's under the bridge and what we have to accept within, say, a pro-white circle. That's almost as taboo as talking about white advocacy out in the general public. So it's very difficult, but we do have to start thinking realistically, and also putting even white advocacy aside. Just because a lot of people, especially people of my age, who are more committed to the Republic and the Constitution and things like that than even, you know, white identity. It's dark days for that set of people as well. But things aren't over. And, you know, we're seeing struggles in various spheres. Wall Street this week. And, you know, there is the media. And let's just finish up on the other side, and then I'll go to new callers.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive. Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new Easy 4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
It's happening, ladies and gentlemen. We here at RBN are working with Front Sight Firearms Training Institute to bring our audience the best in combat, tactical, and defensive firearms training. Whether you're a private citizen who is new to firearms, or you have a concealed weapon permit, and want a level of training that surpasses what you've received from your local gun range, Front Sight provides priceless education and skills taught by seasoned law enforcement, military, and private citizen instructors to levels that far exceed law enforcement and military standard. With nearly a million responsible citizens trained from every town, city, and state from across the United States, Front Sight has bolstered the Patriot movement to a whole new level. Contact Dan Sutterfield by phone at 573-762-2356 or 573-465-2356 or shoot him an email at domedan, D-O-M-E-D-A-N, at hotmail.com. This is a limited time opportunity. Don't miss it.
Extendivite has proven time and again it really works. Here's a testimonial from Amazon.com. I am only 40, but I have put my body through hell working in manufacturing for 20 years. I recently started to notice a buzzing feeling along with a stuttering sensation with my heart. I had a full cardio stress done, which I passed. I decided to try Extendivite after getting the jingle stuck in my head. Halfway through the bottle, I really did notice a difference. After getting home from work, I would just sit in a chair for a few hours feeling like crap, and this stuff reduced that feeling along with heart discomfort to almost nothing. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your
life with Extendovite. You're back. That is beautiful North Korean opera. And so before I move on to the last caller, Dave, Josh, I want you to have a chance to respond to anything I had to say.
I guess I kind of lost the flow, but I guess I just thought that if there could be more, what do you think about the idea that it would be better to think in terms of the amount of media you control than in terms of the amount of demographics whites are.
Well,
meaning,
I mean,
when you have a media, I'm sorry, when you have a media like that is pro-white and inundates people, you know, to be more like the white people, I guess it would be more effective in achieving the goals.
I mean, there are purity spirals that are, you know, death spirals where you're not going to get anything accomplished. But then again, if you compromise too much, the victory is hollow. There has to be some, you know, some sort of, what do you call it? Like analysis where you're optimizing your interests as opposed to trying to maximize one particular interest. And so, you know, there has to be a certain amount of acceptance of water under the bridge, but without compromising on fundamental interests. It's something that we have to hash out, and we won't be able to hash it out in one show. But thank you for your call, Josh.
All right, thanks so much.
And we move on to Patrick from North Carolina.
Hey, Dr. Slattery. I enjoyed the program you guys put on Dr. Duke's show today. I wasn't sure.
Did you hear it live?
Where you wanted it. Yeah, I wasn't live. I probably caught it maybe an hour after 30 minutes. Okay. I caught it on the archive.
You might notice it was short. On archive, we had some technical difficulties, which included me singing. So, but that's lost to history now.
No, I mean, it was a very interesting show. I was going to call, but then I started, once I found out you're taking calls, but I didn't want to throw you off. But I could talk about politics. We could talk about Afghanistan. I thought the college debt subject that last caller brought up was interesting. I loved Dr. Duke's opinion on the COVID hoax. I could talk about pretty much anything you want to talk about.
The theme I started with was the 1871 Act that reorganized the federal district and created a unified corporate government for the corporate municipal government for the District of Columbia. And a lot of people say, well, that actually transformed the United States from a country into a corporation, privately owned corporation, which I think is a complete red herring and a waste of time. And I started reading from the act, and I'm going to continue reading from it over the next days or weeks. But have you heard about this? Have you heard talk about this?
No, I have not. And I'm not going to lie. I don't know anything about it. And I'd be learning it from you, to be honest.
Well, I don't think there's anything there, but I know there are people out there who do think there's something there. And so, let's get it ironed out. But I know we've talked on, you've called into Jeremy's show, and you're a PhD student and former, were you in the Army or the Marines? What were you in?
I was in the Army. I was a sergeant in the infantry when I left. I had one deployment to Afghanistan and 100 missions, I'd say, at least on my ARCOM, and a CIB, and I was the paratrooper.
Mm-hmm. And you're studying business, right?
Yeah, I'm getting my doctorate in business administration and finance. Hopefully they give it to me. I just sent my academic advisor, you're in Dr. David Duke's show. I wonder how he's going to take that, but I was thinking about it. Like, I jumped out of airplanes for a living. Only somebody like me would be crazy enough to send that to, their academic advisor. Yeah, he takes that. I'm sure he's a jerk.
You got to be careful. Kevin McDonald's advice some years ago was for people, when you're a PhD student, is to keep your head low. And I found this myself. When I was a PhD student, because I had like a kind of a series of events that were red pilling, but certainly going to graduate school and on day one seeing half of my professors self-identifying as Jews and thinking, uh-oh, and then I started like really researching it. But what are you going to do? Because these are the people you're investing a huge amount of time, a huge part of your life, into trying to get a PhD, and the people in a position to grant you the PhD are your professors, who are many of whom are probably Jewish and others are philo-Semitic, and know where which side of the bagel the butter's on. And so I would be very careful. And so I wound up picking a dissertation topic that would be totally non-controversial, but also non-controversial, but also something that would be very solid that they wouldn't be able to argue with. And
I agree completely. I wouldn't ever try to connect my personal beliefs to my academic work. That'd be probably a bad thing. And then one other thing you said, I was thinking about too, is like, I don't speak eloquently enough to change global tyranny. So it's better off, I leave it to the adults to do, like you and Dr. Duke, and maybe I can learn from it one day and I can get that well spoken. It's almost like the same reason, I don't vote. You mentioned people who are calling in. I felt bad, hearing about that guy who got arrested in Florida. he was, you know, he put up that funny meme, I guess. And now they're trying to, you know, say it was a crime. And I meant, I heard you guys saying, like, if you're stupid enough to think that you can vote that way, you probably shouldn't be voting in the first place. You know, that's one of the reasons I've never voted before, you know, is I still can't even, I have to make my own bed first before I can go changing the world. But I thought that was really kind of disheartening, kind of to wake up and hear that they're doing that, they're cracking down. I wonder if they're going to come knocking on my door trying to disarm me next, you know, because I'm sure I'm on their list.
On a meme that's over 4 years old, out of everything,
yeah,
out of everything that's happened in the past 4.5 years, they're going to go after this guy who created a meme. The one that I posted on David's site was Hillary Clinton, a picture of Hillary Clinton. And it says, you know, avoid the lines, text to vote. And, you know, with instructions on what number to text the word Hillary to. And you avoid the lines and you vote that way. And, you know, is that voter suppression? It's voter suppression for very, very low info people, if anybody. There's no evidence that anybody actually bought it. But there's all sorts of stuff that goes on, all sorts of dirty politics that goes on. And to focus on that, wow.
No, it just crossed my mind because of all the censorship. It just makes me think, you know, I was thinking about this over the weekend. I mean, the way the Israeli elite censor us would really make me question the validity of the Holocaust. But it's a good thing when I was growing up in the Prussian school system and the state public school system, I felt one of the softest hands squeeze mine as she would walk all his father's square to class. And I remember a number tattoo, and I knew what it was, and I didn't have to say anything. And I remember the kids not knowing what it was and then asking her. And I swear, Dr. Slattery, the tears that came down her face, she talked about never seeing her sister or mother again, were real.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to think about that hand every time I want to commit violence, because I'd be stacking bodies right now for my freedom, because I'm just so upset that you hit Afghanistan, what's going on in Afghanistan, spot on in your show today. When I was working with Pi at CJ7, I was selected, you know, I was a specialist at the time, but I was selected to get a master's degree to work with the international advisory team, and I would go to, out of our bases, we go to each individual police department and we report back to the Afghan Interior Ministry, you know, because we're funding their police department. One of the agendas, because all our funding was coming from, you know, UN sources, was wiping out their culture. And so we had to try to get them to allow women into the, you know, police departments. We were spending massive amounts of money building daycares that they could allow women into the police department. And, you know, looking back on it, it's all just them erasing their culture. You know, it's pretty disgusting. I feel like I, you know, it's like that, you know, they used me. Now I'm like just as guilty almost.
But, okay.
When you mentioned the thing about ISIS too, I thought that was really interesting.
So there are a couple of things that I want to ask you about. One is, you know, you mentioned the Holocaust. And yeah, I've seen an old Jew or two who had numbers tattooed on their arm. Have you seen or heard of the latest Murdoch episode, which is basically a feature length movie almost? It's about 70 minutes long.
No, I haven't. And I, you know, I don't think there's anything wrong with questioning the validity of the Holocaust at all. I just believe that woman when she says, you know, she never saw her sister and mother again. I believe that was real. I don't think she would lie. I don't know enough to investigate it. I don't think you should be ever, you know, allowed not to say anything that's not inciting violence. But this is the way we're heading, and it's, you know, they're turning. They want to make it a mental illness to question trainees eventually, you know, and it seems like it's just a big agenda to disarm anyone who goes against, you know, the slow extermination of our.
Neither myself nor David Duke nor a lot of other people focus a great deal of attention on the Holocaust because, you know, there are other things that are, you know, more central to our research agendas. But one thing that is undeniable is that the Holocaust narrative, as it stands in 2020, and as it has stood for the past few decades at least, is used as a weapon to bludgeon us. And that's what this episode of Murdoch gets at, is the complete weaponization of the Holocaust, both as a bludgeon, but also as a shield. I mean, is a shield that makes the Jewish power structure almost immune from any kind of criticism, because everything's another, you know, another Holocaust, another 6 million. And obviously, any historical era should be subject to all sorts of questioning and reassessment. And, you know, much of many elements that have been part of the Holocaust story over the years have been walked back, abandoned, and other elements are, you know, clearly implausible. But then the other thing is by any counts, you had many tens of millions of people who died during the years of World War II. And why should one group be set out as somehow special and worthy of, special remembrance? Why was one group's suffering so much more meaningful than any other group's? And that's
because I think that's a tool that they're going to use to. I'm sorry, I was going to say that's the tool they use to control and gain power. One thing I thought was really interesting is that my psychiatrist, who met Henry Kissinger, wants me to bring him my autographed copy of David Duke's The Secret Behind Communism. I do believe, you know, that book has some validity to it. I wouldn't like preach with it or anything, I do think that the Holocaust is, the only reason I brought that up is because I think I called up Kelso's show once and he hit me with that for just mentioning the fact that I thought the whole point of the war was in the Middle East was for Israel's benefit, you know, and not for ours. And then he just hit me with that. I didn't really have anything to say at the time. I was mentioning about how I thought the war was all for, you know, the benefit of Israel, not for any of us Americans. And he hit me with, like, what do you feel about Hitler? And he's like, do you believe in the Holocaust? And I was just like, wow, that's not even related. But okay, yeah, I think Hitler was an evil man who killed 8 million innocent Jews, potentially.
It's not even related. That's a very strange comeback. But you see, that's how... you make a very valid point about the Israeli push for, you know, war against Iraq. There is clearly a big link there. And then he counters with the Holocaust. And I thought you said he was from Bangladesh or somewhere. No.
This was Kelso. This was Kelso who countered with the Holocaust.
Oh,
yeah. My doctor didn't do that at all. My doctor's from India or Bangladesh. And he told me the reason all the people got mad at the Jews is because during World War One they stayed back because of religion, and the men fought the war and they came back home. And, who was in charge of all the shops? You know, and then he started with the youngins and pushed them up.
Well,
you know,
I mean, there's a lot of things. There's a lot of reasons why there were so many people in Eastern and Central Europe who had animosity towards Jews. And it has to do with events called the Holodomor. It has to do with the aggressiveness of the Jewish Bund in Poland, the fear that people had of a lot of these Jewish organizations, and the Bolshevik takeover, the purely Jewish to a man, according to Professor George Moss of University of Wisconsin and also Jerusalem University, a Jewish to a man takeovers of Bavaria and Hungary in 1919 for a few months. But that was recent memory. At any rate, there's a lot there, but I have another caller I need to get to, but it was fun talking to you, Patrick.
Yeah, it's always good to hear from you, and I'll make sure to try to donate.
Okay, thank you. And next we go to Peter in California. Peter, welcome to the show.
Yeah, hi, Dr. Slattery. I just was wanted to comment. You're saying there were a lot of reasons why people in Eastern Europe and so on had reason to be have a little ire at the Jews. And recently there was a article where in the Jewish Forward where they go on and list like name after name after name of people that have been named to Biden's cabinet, like the head of intelligence, of course, the Secretary of State, the Chief of Staff, Secretary of Treasury, on and on and on and on and on. And that's not even including the people who they haven't identified or, you know, or who will be placed below these guys. But the point is, I was going to make, well, think of Poland in the 20s or Germany, the Weimar Germany, who had, it was very...
Can you hold on until the other side of the...
Yes, sure.
We'll be right back.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 today.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store, or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
So, you love talk radio. Then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Please view, like, and subscribe to our YouTube channel, Stop Terrorism. Please contact us if you or anyone you know who wants to be on our show at thetruthpharmacy@gmail.com. Keep it real. Take the red pill.
National Bugle Radio. We've got Peter from California. So, we got cut off by the break?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, Dr. Slade, I was just saying that people were, your previous caller, and you mentioned, and anybody who knows anything about it, knows that there was quite a bit of ire against the Jews after the First World War. Like places like Poland, places like the new state of Poland at the time, or the Weimar Republic, which is a new installation of a government in Germany, and how all the institutions, and the point I want to make, at least this point, is that if they can pack our country with absolute control over the banking system and the legislature and the whole political process, the media certainly, and imagine what they did in the basically adolescent government of Poland in the 20s, mm-hmm. or the Weimar Republic with the backing of the banks and so on, and they controlled like everything, and it was a huge backlash against them. Well, you know, they did that now with 250 years of mature institutions in the United States, and they're taking over here. The root cause of all, I'm sure, is the banking, fact that they can print money out of nothing and never be audited. But that's the root cause of it all. But then you add on to the media and, you know, everything that we see and we hear and we read, everything, mm-hmm. our whole paradigm has those boundaries. At any rate, it's and then you think back to why we've been focused our military power in a certain part of the world since the 90s, you know, with the first Gulf War and really before.
Desert Storm.
Trillions of dollars of our military and diplomatic, and by the way, you know, our foreign policy is run by the Pentagon. You know, it's where we don't do any diplomacy or negotiation at all. What we do is we intervene and we bully, and that's where they focus it to the tune of trillions of dollars, and focused on creating, you know, taking down Libya and taking down Syria, taking down Iraq, trying to take down Iran, going after Yemen, on and on and on, creating millions of refugees, which, of course, at their direction. By there, I'm talking about the people who run our government that aren't really in the best interests of America, and then flooding into Europe and totally destabilizing Europe with demographically.
Mm-hmm.
It's unbelievable, but there we go.
There you go. And, you know, I wonder, you said it starts with the banking, and maybe it does start with the banking, but the media, I mean, you look at the media, and Reuters was formed in the mid-1800s, you think of Joseph Pulitzer, who I guess, you know, he came over, he wasn't a media magnate when he came over from, I guess he was born in Hungary, but, you know, by the late 1800s, he had his own empire, the Jewish control of the New York Times started, I guess, in the early 1900s, but, you know, music publishing and a lot of the media, the music public, Tin Pan Alley was almost completely Jewish. And so they've been big in media for a long time, too. And you wonder, you know, maybe it's a chicken and the egg thing, but because the media is super powerful.
Dr. Slattery, what can't you accomplish when you can print money out of nothing and never be audited?
And what can't you accomplish when you can tell people what to think? But
yeah, but that's right. And that's the first target.
Yeah. Thank you for calling. Thank you. And but anyway, thanks for calling, Peter, and I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from simplycleanfoods.net, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters. Right now, Amazon Prime members will receive fast 2-day shipping. Go to simplycleanfoods.net. That's simplycleanfoods.net. But do it today.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.